solution. Amen? Listen, the thing, it takes, and by the way, I happen to think it takes light years more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in an almighty creator who could simply speak the worlds into existence. You believe in evolution, sir or ma'am, you've got a lot more faith than I do. Here it tells us the ex nihilo of faith is that God created the worlds out of nothing by His own Word. He spoke and it was. You read Genesis 1:1, Genesis, the entire first chapter. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God divided the waters of the firmament and the dry land from the seas, and it was. Amen. God spoke and it was. The explanation of faith. The examples of faith. The ex nihilo of faith. The exception of faith. Verse 6. There's an exception clause. An exception conjunction here. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What's the exception there, Pastor? Listen, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's an impossibility. You can't please God if you don't come to Him by faith. For you have to believe that He is. And I especially think, you know where we really see this in a Christian's life? And sometimes it's not amen, but oh me. We see this in prayer. Listen, if we really believe that God could save our loved ones, we'd pray more. Amen? If we really believed that God could heal and God could speak to a heart, we'd pray more. We'd put our faith to the test. God said here, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's an exception there though. Gotta have faith. Amen? You've gotta have faith. Explanation of faith, examples of faith, ex nihilo of faith, exceptions of faith, and then we have some expressions of faith. And that's where we get to our message tonight. Just three simple points tonight. What are some expressions of faith or the fruits of the faith that we see in these three Bible characters? I want you to notice verse 4, if you would, with me. Verse number 4, we see, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. What are some fruits of the faith that we can look at Abel? Well, I believe two things, and they're all pairs tonight. The first thing we see from Abel is we see him worshiping and witnessing. Worshiping and witnessing. And if you go back into Genesis, Genesis chapter number 3, we have the fall of man. Amen? And of course, we know the story there is the devil came in the form of a serpent and tempted Eve. And the very first time the devil opened up his playbook and said, yea, hath God said. And he cast doubt on the Word of God, and he's still doing the same today. Amen? Because it works, amen. If God can get you to, or the devil can get you to doubt God's word, anything is possible. And he said, yea, hath God said that you not to eat of all the trees of the garden? And she said, no, we're just not supposed to eat of one. And God said, we're not supposed to eat it, we're not supposed to touch it, or we'll die. And the devil said, ye shall not surely die. But God knows, God doesn't want you to be like Him, He said in verse 5, verse 6 of Genesis 3. She took it and ate it. And then, of course, the Bible says they knew that they were naked and they went and hid themselves and they sewed fig leaves together. Try to clothe themselves. And God came into the garden and He began to look for Adam and He said, Adam, where art thou? Very rhetorical question. Amen. Why? Did God not know where Adam was? Of course He did. Do you ever ask your child, what are you doing? Amen? When they've got fudge or frosting all over their face, what are you doing? Nothing. No, he said to Adam, where art thou? He said, I hid myself, for I was afraid. God said, and he said, I was naked, and I was afraid. And he said, who told you you were naked? You've been naked the whole time. Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to? And he, of course, fessed up, amen. First pointed the finger at his wife. She pointed her finger at the servant. And they played the blame game, amen. But there's a very interesting thing, very interesting item that happens. Is the Bible says that God clothed him with skins. And I want to tell you what that is. That's the very first sacrifice that ever took place. An innocent animal was sacrificed to clothe Adam and Eve. And later on they had a son and his name was Cain. And then had another son named Abel. And what happened in Genesis chapter number 4, and I'm summarizing here, is that God had told them to bring a sacrifice. And it, no doubt, it's very hard to read your Bible and not understand. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, sacrifice is always by blood. Amen? The sacrifice for a person is by blood. And God had evidently told Adam that, and Adam had communicated that to his boys. So Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer, and Abel brought his best lamb to sacrifice unto the Lord. But Cain brought the fruits of the ground. No blood. Amen? No blood. And so they brought their sacrifice, and the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice, but unto Cain's offering He had not respect, and Cain was wroth, the Bible says. He was upset and eventually went and slew his brother Abel. And God came to him and said to him, He said, "Where's Abel thy brother?" And he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And God said, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out to me." Something we see about Abel in that story is we see him worshiping and witnessing. Worshiping, how so? Through the Lamb. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the only way that you and I can worship God is through the Lamb. That's the only way. Do you know all our righteousnesses, Brother Merrill, are as filthy rags? Filthy. You try and serve God apart from the righteousness that's found only in Jesus Christ, and you, in front of God, have a stinking savor. Doesn't work. But we come through the blood of another. Amen? Just like Abel did. He brought that perfect lamb, and as Brother Becker in his Sunday school class was talking about, to see that innocent one destroy that little lamb, they had to look right into the eyes of the lamb. They had to lift that head and look right into the eyes as they sacrificed, and they saw the blood of that innocent one go out for another. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood that we may worship God. Worship God. I find Abel here worshiping through the Lamb. Something else I find him worshiping and witnessing. Look at our text. It says there, by faith. How? By faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. How was he righteous? By the blood. Amen? By the blood. It wasn't his righteousness, by the blood. Why wasn't Cain righteous? Because he brought the fruits of the ground and thought, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the fruits of the ground could never take away sins. It was the blood of an innocent animal. See him witnessing, worshiping and witnessing through the Lamb. Not only that, also with his lips. And I say this, ladies and gentlemen, we are to worship God. But worship isn't just 1 hour on Sunday morning. Or as I call it, the hour of power. There's some people that think you can come in, worship God, and sing high and holy songs, and then walk out and live like the devil. That's not worshiping God. Not even close. We're to worship God, yes, through the Lamb, yes, with our lips, but really with our life, Brother Boston. We worship God with our life. We get up on Monday and we praise God for who He is. We try to ask God to help us and to walk pure and holy and live in the Spirit. Amen? That's real worship of God. Amen? Real worship of God. Abel, he worshiped and he witnessed. He witnessed. Oh, that God would help us to live our lives. That our lives would be a witness, a testimony for what God has done and what God can do. I was thinking of someone this week and just be able to share some time with them and how difficult their predicament is and their circumstances. And forgive me, folks, but this person's reaping what they've sowed. That happens. But you know, there's one person who can interrupt the sowing and reaping process. And that's God. You say, oh, He doesn't always. That's true. Many, many times there's consequences to follow. But I want to tell you, son, I want to tell that person that, listen, God could use you as a testimony and a witness of His power. Oh, that we would worship and witness God, witness for God like Abel did. We find Abel, the fruits of the faith, worshiping and witnessing. Number two, we find this character, Enoch. Very interesting character, Enoch, in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God hath translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. When I think of Enoch, this character found here in Hebrews 11 and also in Genesis chapter number 5, verses 23 and 24, and then also in Jude chapter 1, amen, verse 14 and 15, I think of not only worshiping and witnessing with Abel, I think of Enoch walking and watching. Walking and watching. Look what it says there. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God hath translated him. If you go back into Genesis, you find, as you're going through the genealogy of chapter 5, you come to this man Enoch. And it says, and Enoch walked with God. Can you imagine? I think of Adam in that passage we just talked about in Genesis 3 and 4. And the Bible says that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. Can you imagine? I mean, physically. Now, I'm glad that we could sing like the song in the garden. And He walks with me and He talks with... I'm glad for that spiritual... I'm talking about in physical presence. Amen? Here they were. I could imagine God holding Adam's hand and Eve's hand and walking in the cool of the day and just talking and them asking him all kinds of questions. The Bible says about Enoch that he walked with God. He walked with God. And look what it says in verse 5, that he was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God hath translated him. Before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Walking and watching. When I think of walking and watching, I think of a couple things. First of all, I think of relationship. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know what the answer is? No, they can't. They have to be agreed. So Enoch had a relationship with God. Can I tell you, in your relationship with God, through His Word and through prayer, that's how you walk with Him. Amen? That's how you walk the Christian walk. And by the way, don't get discouraged because maybe somebody's walking a little faster than you are. Or somebody seems to run by. By the way, I've known some sprinters in the Christian life, Brother Cook. They sprinted out for God and man, they were on fire, but they were like a sparkler. You know, you light up a sparkler in front of an 8-year-old kid and he's like, wow. And then all of a sudden it gets done and it's all gone. Amen? I'd rather have a kerosene lamp, kerosene lantern, amen, that burns nice and slow. But it keeps on burning, keeps on giving light, amen. That's what it is to walk with God. It's every day, little by little, precept upon precept, learning and growing for God, walking with God. It speaks of relationship. Something else we learn in verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. I mean, it's very interesting. People were looking for him. Where'd he go? He's only one of two people in the Bible that didn't see death, Enoch and Elijah. Amen. It says, because God hath translated, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. There's not only relationship, but there was respect. God looked at this person and said, by faith, they please me. Listen, sometimes when we look at ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, it's very easy to get discouraged. Will somebody please say amen? I thought, good, I was thinking it was just me, amen. Every morning I shave, and Mrs. Sammons very, very kindly slapped me on the face today, amen. Not the younger Mrs. Sammons, the not quite as young Mrs. Sammons. Amen, help me, Pastor. She gave me a little face. She said, I'm glad you cleaned up your dirty face, amen. And I said, you just hit the man of God. But every time I shave is what I was getting at is, you know, I could get discouraged. I could think of how I fail God. Say amen. You do too. Amen. But you know what it says here? God has respect unto those that by faith please Him. That's the way you can please God. It's not in your flesh. It's not in your wonderful personality, though you may have a wonderful personality. It's by faith. When we walk by faith and we do what God says, we can please God, and God has respect unto that. He respects that. Relationship, respect, something else I see in verse 5, and I love this. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. I see reward. Reward. You know, there's a reward for the Christian that not only walks with God, but that watches for His return. There's a reward. You read about it. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It's called the crown of life that God gives to those that are expectantly watching for His coming. You know, if you're watching for His coming, there's so many things that we could say as you look at the Bible, and particularly you think about the rapture of the church. We've been talking about it on Wednesday nights. But if you're looking for His coming, if you're expecting Him to come, if you're watching, you know, you think about it, it'll purify your thought, won't it? You don't want to be thinking impurely when the Lord comes back. What a terrible thing it would be, mentioning our message this morning, what a terrible thing it would be for a Christian to be gazing at pornography and the Lord comes back. By the way, it doesn't mean you'll stay. It means you'll be ashamed. Amen? We ought to let that idea of the Lord watching, it'll purify our thought. It'll energize our efforts if we really believe the Lord could come back. Listen, we got to pass out tracts. We got to witness to people. We got to tell folks about the Lord. Why? It'll energize our efforts because we're watching for Him to come. You know what else it'll do? It'll rejoice our spirits that at any second, marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again. It may be at morn when the day is awaking. Oh, I love that song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Christ cometh again. Amen. Boy, it could be any moment. Let us energize our effort and purify our thought and rejoice our spirit and comfort our hearts, folks. He was not only walking, but He was watching. You say, how do you know, Pastor? He said in Jude, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. Amen. That great prophecy of Enoch. He's worshiping and witnessing. He's walking and watching. And then, lastly, we have the character of Noah. Look at verse 7, please. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Abel was worshiping and witnessing. So should we. Enoch was walking and watching. And so should we. Noah was working and warning. And so should we. He was working. You know the story of Noah. It says, he being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark. I cannot imagine many of you in this room were here when these beams were brought in and laid and put across. And I think of how much work that takes. Over Christmas, my mother got us a lot of the Little House on the Prairie. Amen. Anybody like that show, Little House on the Prairie? What a wonderful show. Amen. And we're watching as they, Brother Sammons, as they take boards and cut them and they take out the planer and they... Can you imagine building the ark? No modern sawzalls. Amen. No bandsaws. I don't know what they had. Amen. I know God told him exactly how to build it, and that's what Noah did. He did it exactly the way God said. And I heard somebody say one time, the Titanic was made by professionals and the ark was made by amateurs that believe God. Amen? Think about that. So Noah here, we see him working in warning, and he was moved by several things according to this text. The first thing that we know he was moved by is he was moved by faith. He believed what God said. He believed what God said. He was not only moved by faith, he was moved by fear. He not only believed what God said, but he knew God would do what he said. God said, I'm going to bring a flood. And I'm going to destroy the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Faith moved him. Fear moved him. Something else moved him. The future moved him. Look what it says there. He said, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. As yet. Speaks of the future. He not only was working, but he was warning. I want you to go in the New Testament just a couple pages over. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We see Abel worshiping and witnessing. We see Enoch walking and watching. And we see Noah working and warning. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Look at verse number 5. It says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. If you go back in Genesis chapter 3, God says, as He's getting ready to speak to Noah, He says, my spirit will not always strive with man. But his days shall be 120 years. For 120 years, Noah, just like in Nehemiah, built and battled for the Lord. You know what they did in Nehemiah when they were building the walls of the city, amen? They built the walls, they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not only supposed to be working for the Lord. And every Christian should be working for the Lord. Amen. Some way, somehow, serving the Lord, particularly in the local church. But we know what else we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be warning. I believe for 120 years as Noah and his sons and perhaps some hired help that didn't even believe the Lord helped him to build the ark, that Noah would say, the Lord is going to send judgment. The Lord is going to send judgment. Get in this ark while you can. The Lord is going to send judgment. And you folks remember, those of you that know your Bible, when he finished the ark, God gave man another 7 days. Remember that? What a wonderful, merciful God. Hey, how many of you know that you got saved the very first time you heard the gospel? I didn't. I got saved the second time, Brother Jeff. By the way, God never owed me a second time. Amen? But there was that second time. I think of all those heathens that didn't want to have anything, and they laughed and scoffed at Noah. Yeah, it's going to rain. It's never rain. We don't even know what rain is. And then God said to Noah, okay, come on in. Bring your family. And the Bible says that God shut the door of the ark. Can I tell you, that's one of the reasons why I believe after the rapture of the church, according to Matthew chapter 25, that the door will be shut. Those that have the Holy Spirit are gone. Those that have the oil in their lamps are gone. And those that didn't aren't. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that God will send strong delusion, that they'll believe a lie. Listen, I know, Brother Cone, Brother Herb, that when it started raining, it was probably funny at first. What's that? What is that? It's water falling from the sky. How can water be falling from the sky? And at first they probably, well, look at that. They probably stuck their tongues out, maybe drank a little bit of it, I don't know. But then after it started getting up to their feet and ankles and shins and knees, and then I think probably they went up to the ark and went, "Hey, Noah. Noah, we know you're in there. Let us in." And I bet you, Brother Lawley, Noah with tears in his eyes said, "I can't. God shut the door. You had 120 years. You had an extra 7 days. You laughed and mocked. I'm sorry, I can't." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be working. Amen? We need to also be warning. You know that waitress that serves you so well? Leave her a gospel track. Tell her about the Lord if the Lord would give you an opportunity. Do you have a church home? "Well, no, I don't get to go to church." Well, you know what? I always say this. I'm a preacher. I think everybody ought to go to church. But the most important thing is not whether you're going to church or not. Most important thing is, do you know you're on your way to heaven? I always say, I know you're working. But if you could just give me a couple minutes, I could tell you how to be sure. And if you can't, right here on this little piece of paper that I'm going to leave you with a good tip. Come on! Don't leave a stingy tip and expect someone to love the gospel, amen? Leave a good tip. I'm going to leave you this piece of paper. It'll tell you, you know what you're doing? You're warning them. There's a real heaven and a real hell, sweetheart. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere. God wants us to be working. Yes, God wants us to build the church, amen? Yes, 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 God wants us to work and serve and minister one to another. All those things, but God wants us to warn people. Somebody in our church I appreciate, he wouldn't want me to say anything. I don't really care. I'm his pastor. I appreciate Brother Mark Meyer. Always got tracks on him. Always passing out tracks. Why? Because he knows we're supposed to be working and warning. We're supposed to be walking and watching. We're supposed to be worshiping and witnessing. Those are some fruits of faith, folks. Hey, let's do some fruit inventory. Amen. Let's do some fruit inventory and see, am I worshiping and witnessing? Am I walking and watching? Am I working and warning like the Lord would have me to? Our Father, we love You and thank You for Your goodness to us. Pray that You'd please be with us. Pray that You would help us now in this invitation time as we go into our invitation, page 546, ladies, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, page 546. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as the ladies begin to play. How about you tonight, friend? The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're here today and you have no idea if you were to pass off the scene that you'd spend eternity in heaven. You will spend eternity in heaven or hell, one or the other. God allows you to choose. That's how wonderful He is. He provided salvation for every one of us when He died on the cross. But you'll either go His way or you'll go your way. If you go His way, you'll be like Abel that obtained the righteousness of God by faith. If you go your way, you'll be the way of Cain, the father of the apostates, who's been burning in hell for 4,000 years. You're here tonight and you'd say, "Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Here's my hand. Here's my hand." Lift it up and put it right back down. I'm saved and I know it. God bless you. Hands all over the room. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Listen, nobody looking around. private time between you and God. Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I have no idea what the saved thing is. If I were to die tonight, whether I be 5 or 50, I have no idea whether I'd be in heaven or hell. Please pray for me, Pastor. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Is there anyone at all? You'd lift your hand. Others lifted their hands before. Would you lift yours and say, Pastor, I'm just not sure. Would you please pray for me? I will. I'll pray for you. Sir, ma'am, young lady, young man, I'll pray for you. Maybe it's this idea of spiritual inventory. Maybe it's about worshiping God not only with your lips, not only with an hour on Sunday, but with your life all the week long. Pastor, pray for me that I'd worship God all the week long, not just on Sunday. I see that hand. Is there another? Hands all over the room. That I'd worship God. I see those hands. Maybe it's the idea of walking with God. Maybe you're stumbling in your walk with God. Pastor, pray for me. My walk with God. Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. I see that. Is there another hand? I see that hand. I see that hand. Maybe it's the idea of watching, expecting the Lord to come. We talked about it. If you're expecting the Lord to come, you'll put away the sins of the flesh. Pastor, pray. Pray for me, please, that I'd be watching for the Lord to come. That I just couldn't wait for Him to come because I'm living my life the way He wants me to. I know it. Maybe it's the idea of working for the Lord. What do you do for the Lord, sir, ma'am? What is it that you do? Do you have a ministry for the Lord? Pastor, pray for me. I need to get busy for the Lord. I need to get busy for the Lord. Hands, anyone? Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I need to work for the Lord. I know I need to be working. I see that hand, brother. Is there another? Maybe it's the idea of warning. Warning. Pastor, I do believe there's a hell, but I've not been serious about warning people about it. Pray for me that God will give me strength. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Let's stand to our feet. 504.